It is so very good to see everybody here this morning. I know it's the holiday season, so we have quite a few people out of town going to visit family. But at the same time, we have quite a few people in town visiting to see family. For those of you that are visiting, you are our most welcome and honored guest. We hope that you feel so welcome here when you're worshiping with us that you'll want to come back and worship God together with us again and to study with us from the Word of God whenever you're able and willing to be with us. My sermon this morning begins over in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and in verse 2. Here the text reads, "For he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you. In the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." When you read this text, do you see the urgency in the text? It emphasizes twice the word now. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. In our sermon this morning, what we're going to be studying is how we need to be seizing the moments of life, living every day of our life as if it is the last day of our life, living in the now. The text we just read here says, now is the accepted time, now is the day of salvation. The text is dealing with your relationship with God. I'm sure you're familiar with Isaiah teaching how sin separates us from God. And if you die separated from God, you'll be forever separated from God in hell. There is nothing, absolutely nothing, in your life that is more important than being reconciled to God, that being right with God, having no sin whatsoever, standing between you and God. In your relationship with God, always live in the now, realizing now is the day of salvation, now is the day, if there is any sin whatsoever that is standing between you and God, it is to be dealt with now, today. When you're dealing with your soul salvation, this is not something that you procrastinate with. This is not something that you will say, I'll take care of this tomorrow. I'm going to get to this later on. Over in Matthew chapter 25, here you have the parable of the five wise and the five foolish virgins. And speaking about the foolish virgins here in verses 10 through 13, it says, "And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut." I want you to notice that all of these virgins wanted to go to the marriage feast. But only five of them were prepared. Only five of them were allowed to go in. And once they went in, the door was shut. And it says after this, afterward, the other virgins came also saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." Do you understand what this parable is talking about? It is talking about how there are going to be people in Judgment Day who believe in heaven, want to go to heaven, intended on going to heaven. But something happened and they found themselves unprepared either when the Lord came or when they died. And as a consequence, the doors are shut. Afterward, listen folks, everybody in hell is going to want to go to heaven. There's not going to be anybody in hell who is not going to want to change and go to heaven. But the door is shut. You can cry out, "Lord, Lord," all day, "open to us." But his answer is going to be, "But he answered and said, as surely I say to you, I do not know you." That's why he says in conclusion in verse 13, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." What this parable is trying to emphasize to us is living in the now. Living prepared now today in your spiritual relationship with God, so the coming of the Lord does not take you surprise, or dying does not take you by surprise. You find the same thought reiterated again over in Matthew 24 and verse 44, where he says, "Therefore you also be ready." Be ready. Why? For the Son of Man is coming in an hour that you do not expect. We do not know when the Lord is coming again. We know He's coming again, but we don't know when. We have to live every day of our life as though this is the day, that this is the last day of existence, that the Lord Himself is going to be coming, and Judgment Day is coming this very day. We need to live ready, prepared, always. Otherwise, we are the five foolish virgins. And the Lord will come in a time which we're not prepared. Or death is going to come in a time in which we're not prepared because we put it off, we procrastinated, and said, I'll get to that later on, just not right now. In Isaiah 59, and in verse 9, we see a mindset that is very dangerous. The beginning of the verse simply says, therefore is judgment far from us. You see, judgment's coming, yes, but I got plenty of time. I'm going to sow my wild oats now, and don't worry, preacher, don't worry. I'm going to come obey the gospel one of these days. I'm going to be restored one of these days, just not right now, so don't you worry. I'm going to go to heaven. I'm going to make things right. You take judgment and you put it far off from you. You got plenty of time. You see a similar mindset in Luke chapter 12, verses 19 to 20. And I will say to myself, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Do you see the mindset? Many years. I got plenty of time. Everything's good. I got plenty of food. Everything's fine. I'm going to be alive for a long time, many years. But you know what the Lord says about this man? Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. You see, the mindset of judgment far off. Many years, plenty of time to take care of this. Please realize this verse could be talking about you. This may be the day your soul is required of you. We do not know when the Lord is coming, so we need to live prepared as if He is coming today. We do not know when we are going to die. How many of you, when it comes to your mortality and your death, think, I got plenty of time. I got many years ahead of me. Yes, there's going to be death and judgment, but that's a long way off. Is it? The psalmist says in chapter 39 and verse 4, Lord, make me to know mine end. He continues and he says, in the measure of my days, what it is. Notice the close of the verse, that I may know how frail I am. Dying is easy. It is easy to die. It's just a step between you and death, and you are frail. I remember being in the hospital when I had my heart attack. I remember looking over at my wife and simply uttering, help. And when I came to, I was on the bed with somebody pounding on my chest. And they told me I checked out for a while. It was easy. It was quick. It's just a step between you and your death. You are frail. You are going to die. Do not assume that you have plenty of time in the future, because you don't know how much time you've got even the rest of this day. James speaks about this in chapter 4, verse 14, when he says, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. Does anybody know what's going to happen tomorrow? How many of you are making plans for tomorrow? I am. But do you have any guarantee of tomorrow? He continues in the text and he talks about the reality of our life when he says, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Even if you do live to an old age, it's going to go by quickly. It's here for a little while and it's gone. You talk to any of the older brethren here and they can tell you, it just seemed like the other day they got married. Just the other day they were kids. And you turn around and here you are an older man or woman. But regardless of what age you are, you have no guarantee that you will ever be an older man or woman. You go read the obituary today. Just go get it. Pick it up and read it. You'll find, yes, the majority of the people in the obituary are older people. But you will also find scattered among the obituary teenagers, people in their 20s, children. You see, death is no respecter of persons. Again, Proverbs says the same thing in chapter 27 and verse 1. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what the day may bring forth. Do you see the urgency in living in the now in both of these verses? And that is, you do not assume tomorrow. And so when you're dealing with the most important thing there is in your entire existence, and that is your soul's eternal destiny, you do not procrastinate about heaven and hell. You do not procrastinate about sin standing between you and God. Salvation needs to be dealt with now. Today is the day of salvation now. That's why he says in Acts chapter 26 and verse 28, one of the more sad accounts in the book of Acts, then Agrippa said to Paul, "You almost persuaded me to become a Christian." You know, when you're up here preaching the word, preachers will tell you this. You can see the word working on people. You can see people thinking and their wills turning. You can see tears in people's eyes. I can see that. And there are times when I'm warning individuals who I know need to obey the gospel, and I'm hoping and I'm praying they'll step out and come forward. The invitation song is sung, and then we all go home. And I pray that you'll have another day. I pray you will live another day and have another opportunity. But please understand this. You can obey the gospel any day. You ain't got to wait for the invitation song. You ain't got to wait for the assembly. Now is the day of salvation, and now is more than Sunday for a couple of hours. Now is every day. Any moment you can obey the gospel, any moment you can come back to God. But when it's coming down to your salvation, what I'm wanting you to realize is the urgency of it. It is not something we are to procrastinate about. It is not something we are to take lightly. Otherwise, we will find ourselves in the position of being the five foolish virgins who believe in heaven, want to go to heaven, but weren't prepared when the Lord came or death came. As a consequence, the doors will be shut, and you can cry out for all eternity, and the doors will not be open to you. You have to seize the moment today, now, to make yourself right with God. When you study the scriptures, you'll find there's something else that is spoken of in the very urgent sense of living in the now. And that has to do with our relationship with other people. You find this in Matthew chapter 5 and 23 through 24. The text reads, "Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar, and go your way. First, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift." Do you see the urgency in the text here? You are coming to worship God. You're coming to offer a sacrifice to God. That's pretty important, wouldn't you say? But before you offer the sacrifice, you realize that you have actually sinned against a brother in Christ. You've said or done something wrong to them. The text says you leave your gift there before the altar. That means you stop Johnny on the spot. You realize this is something that needs to be taken care of now. This is not something you procrastinate about. This is something that you do now. You go your way first. Do you see the word first? That's emphasizing living in the now. You first be reconciled to your brother. If there is anyone that you know you have sinned against, Now is the day to seek their forgiveness. Now is the day to go apologize and learn to swallow your pride and say, I'm sorry for what I said and for what I did. Will you please forgive me? Now is the day to seek forgiveness. But you find over in Ephesians 4 and 26, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Now we're dealing with someone has sinned against you, and now we're trying to find how we can make peace between ourselves. Do you see the urgency here in not letting the sun go down on your wrath? Someone sinned against you. They've upset you. You find yourself still thinking about what they said and what they did, and it hurt you, and it may have hurt you deeply. When someone comes to you and they are wanting peace between you and them, you forgive them now. You forgive them now. You work out differences between yourself and others now. You don't let the sun go down on your wrath. This is not something you procrastinate with. Again, over in Romans in chapter 12, it says here in verse 18, if it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. How much depends on you? Well, I can control myself. I can determine what I'm going to do today. I can actually apologize to someone. I have that ability to do that. And if someone apologizes to me, I have the ability to forgive them. As much as depends on you. God expects you to live peaceably with all men today, right now, every day. Again, over in Matthew, in chapter 6 from the Sermon on the Mount, he says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you. Do you see the importance of forgiving people who sin against you? You forgive them, God will forgive you. But look at the next verse. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Do you see the importance of passing over the transgression? Do you see the importance of forgiving those who sin against you? Because if you do not, then there's going to be sin standing between you and God that will not be forgiven. When you're dealing with forgiving others, you do it, and you do it now. Peter says again, 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 11 through 12, let him turn from his evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. Do you see the importance of peace here? You seek it. You pursue it. This is something you've got to work hard at. You've got to work diligently at it. But he goes on further and he says, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are open to their prayers. If you are someone who is seeking peace and pursuing it, and as much as depends on you, you're doing the best you can to live at peace with all men now, asking forgiveness when you sin against them, forgiving them and passing over the transgression when they sin against you, that is seeking peace, pursuing it now. If you do that, the ears of the Lord are open to your prayers. He will hear your prayers. But the last part of the verse said, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Again, if you don't forgive, you're hanging on to the wrath, you're hanging on to the bitterness, you're too stubborn to ask forgiveness, you need to realize the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. If you're not seeking peace and pursuing it, then what kind of peace do you think there is between you and your God? And then finally, the last part of the sermon, in living in the now, and that is, now is the day to express your love to those that are dear and near to you. It's a very interesting proverb in Proverbs 27 and verse 5. It simply says, open rebuke is better than the love carefully concealed. Love carefully concealed does nobody any good. Hidden love does nobody any good. Love is meant to be expressed. Love is meant to be shown, not hidden. There are people in your life that you care deeply about. Now's the day to tell them. Now's the day they need to hear it from you. In Ephesians 5 and 28, speaking to the husbands. He says, husbands ought to love their own wives. And speaking about this husband-wife relationship in 1 Corinthians 7 and 3, he says, let the husband render to his wife the affection due her. We are told to love our wives as Christ loved the church, and then we're told in Corinthians to render that affection to her. Tell her how much you care about her. Hidden love is not doing your wife any good. It is meant to be expressed. Let me show you. I love you. That's easy to say, isn't it? I love you. She needs to hear it. Tell her. Now is the day to express your love. But not only the husband to the wife, and likewise also the wife to her husband. If you love your husband, tell him. Tell him now. Tell him today. In Proverbs 31, it is talking about the virtuous wife, mother. And the text says, her children rise up and call her blessed. And then it talks about her husband also. He praises her. It goes on further and it says, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. And then in the very close of the text in verse 31, give her of the fruit of her hands, that her own works praise her in the gates. Four times in the text it talks about praise being given to this woman. First from her children, then from her husband. But notice verse 31, give her of the fruit of her hands, that her own works praise her in the gates. Give her the praise she deserves. Tell your mom how special she is to you. Tell your wife how special she is to you. These affections are meant to be expressed, not kept to yourself. Titus 2 and 4, speaking to the young women, it says for them to love their husbands, I love the children. Your children are never burdens. Never. They may hurt your feelings sometimes, but they're never burdens. Your children are blessings from God. Tell your children how much you love them. Tell them now. Tell them often. You cannot give them too much love. One of my favorite proverbs is Proverbs 17:6. It simply says, children's children are the crown of old men. A crown is a great treasure, very great treasure. And the idea of your grandchildren being great treasures to you, okay, you grandparents and great-grandparents, you know that. Show me the pictures. I know you got them. I got mine. I'll show them after services. Tell your grandchildren, tell your great-grandchildren the treasure they are to you. Let them know it. But the close of the verse simply says, and the glory of children is their father. Now we're talking about dad. If your father is alive and you can still, tell him how much you appreciate him. Do you see in all these texts he's dealing with the family relationship? How special a wife is to you. How special a husband is to you. How special children are to you. How special parents are. Even how special grandchildren are. And when you have these relationships, the expression of your feelings is meant to be done now. Because listen to me, folks, you have no guarantee of tomorrow. One of my strongest memories as a child was going to my grandmother's funeral and hearing my uncle grieve. She didn't know that I loved her. He was angry at his mom, wouldn't go visit his mom while she was in the hospital, assumed she was going to come out of the hospital and they would make things right later on. And guess what? She had a heart attack and died. And the last thing his mom remembered is that he wouldn't see her in the hospital. And they lived in the same town. And I remember as a young child hearing my uncle grieving, she didn't know that I loved her. Tell the people whom you love that you love them now. Because you have no guarantee that you will be alive at the end of this day or that they will be alive at the end of this day, because there's going to come a time when you're no longer going to have them around and you're not going to be around. So if you have feelings for people, let them know it. Let them know it. Ephesians says in chapter 5 and verse 16, redeem the time because the days are evil. And then again, same verse, different translation. Making the most of your time because the days are evil. This verse is teaching the importance of living in the present. Redeeming the time. Making the most of every opportunity. Living in the now. Living in the present. In your relationship with God, live in the now always. Do not live in tomorrow. Do not live in the future thinking with this mindset, tomorrow I'll obey the gospel. Tomorrow I'll come home to the Lord. Tomorrow I'll be saved. No, now is the day of salvation. Today is the day to be reconciled to God. Today is the day to come home to the Father. In your salvation's relationship with God, always live prepared for your death and for the coming of the Lord. You do not know when either will happen. And if you live every day of your life as if it is the last day of your life, one day it will be. And you will be prepared. And the door will not be shut on you. I want to close this sermon with Psalms 118, verse 24. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. You know how you can rejoice and be glad in this day? You can rejoice and be glad when you know in your heart that there is no sin standing between you and your Lord who has made this day. When you know that you have been forgiven by obeying the gospel or taking the sin to God and seeking forgiveness of it. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the day of salvation. The way you can rejoice in this day is knowing that there is no animosity between you and anyone else. But you've done the very best you can to seek peace with others and pursue it, to go ask forgiveness or be willing to forgive others, and to express your love to everyone in the world around you whom you do care about and love. Tell them and tell them now. When you live this way, right with God and right with others and loving those in the world around you, that is how you can rejoice and be glad in this day. But if there's sin between you and God, and you know if you die you're going to hell, you can't have peace. And when you know that there's barriers between you and other people, and you haven't dealt with them, it's going to continue to gnaw at you. Now is the day to be forgiven by God. Now is the day to forgive others. Now is the day to seek forgiveness of others. And now is the day to tell others how special they are to you. Now is the only day we've got. We have no guarantee of tomorrow. So live in the now. If you haven't obeyed the gospel, what is keeping you from it? Please do not be like King Agrippa, almost persuaded. Be persuaded. Totally. Come forward, confess your faith. Repent of your sins. Be baptized for the remission of your sins. And the sins that are standing between you and God, that are separating you from God, will be removed and forgiven, and you will be reconciled to God. There will be peace between you and your Creator. You will be saved, a child of God. If you are a Christian already and you know that there's sin standing between you and God, deal with it now. Don't leave the building with sin standing between you and God. We'll pray for you. We'll pray with you. We'll do the best we can to try to encourage you and strengthen you. If you are subject to the gospel called in any way, come now while we stand and sing the songs that have been selected.